Gabe Miller here, and I want to personally thank you for checking out our podcast. And I also want to encourage you to click the subscribe button so that each week's message will automatically show up in your feed. Another great way to stay connected with us is on our website at yourimpactchurch.com and on all of our social media outlets at Your Impact Church. I hope this message today encourages you, inspires you, and challenges you. Let's jump into the message.
Oh, y'all are going to make me blush. Am I turning red yet? But seriously, there are a few times a year where we just feel like there's a word that God's put on our heart. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for how the Lord uses her as a part of this body. And if you haven't been ministered to by my wife yet, your day's probably coming. So, and one of those days is today, because she's got a powerful message that she wants to bring to us today. So come on, will you put your hands together and welcome my wife, Amanda Miller.
Well, I would say good morning, but, you know, we're at 11:18 now, so, you know, it is good to see your faces. Good to be here. Gabriel does. He asked me a few times throughout the year to speak. So good news. You don't like what you hear today? Come back next week because he'll be back. I like it because I get to come up here occasionally and do this, and I'm honored to get to do it. And I do enjoy being able to get to share with you. But then I get to go sit down again too, so it's great too. And just how many of you are thankful for our pastor? Because man, he brings a powerful word, and I know that it's just God in and at work through him, you know, and the time that he puts in and prayer that he puts in. But I'm excited that I get to share with you today on Palm Sunday. How many of you knew that today was Palm Sunday? I had to have a discussion with my kids last week because they were like, what is Palm Sunday? And I'm like, wow, mama needs to work on this. We did not know it was Palm Sunday and what that even means. So maybe it's the teacher in me. I don't know. But if you've ever heard me speak before, you know I like to share some details, some facts about things in the Word because as I studied for this, I really felt like it was important to kind of talk about what today is. And what today represents. And as I did, I realized, like, reminded. I felt like I knew this, but I was reminded today and or before today how intentional our God is. There's nothing he does that he just kind of happened to throw in there or, you know, didn't think about. Like, everything he does is intentional, not just in the Word, but even in our lives. It's for a purpose. He has a plan. He's using it intentionally, and it represents something. So I'm excited to share with you just some things about Palm Sunday. So Palm Sunday, it is the beginning of Holy Week, and it leads up to the Jewish holiday of Passover. Holy Week is the week leading up to Easter, as we all know. It was custom during Jesus' time to lay palm branches or clothes in front of people that were owed a great amount of respect. I was amazed to find out that I brought, it, you know, I'm a visual learner, so I love bringing visuals for you to see. And I was intrigued to find out as I studied for this that actually palm branches represent victory. And so in this time where it was custom to lay clothes or palm branches, Scripture says that people went and, you know, women, children went and gathered palm branches and laid them at their feet, not knowing that technically what they were saying was they were paving the way for victory. As Jesus rode in on the donkey, knowing what was ahead, headed to the cross, yet it was a path of victory that they were laying before him. John 12:12-13, it actually talks about this, that when the great crowd had come to the feast, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. This event was actually prophesied in what is to believed to be 450 to 500 years earlier. This is recorded in Zechariah 9:9 and Isaiah 62:11. Even as they wave palm branches, I don't believe that they could have known the gravity of who they were paving the way for, right? Because this was just kind of custom to do in their time. Yet Jesus so humbly came. And I found this interesting that, many of us know Jesus came riding in on a donkey. How many of you know a horse would have probably been much more comfortable for Jesus to come riding in on? Yet in that time, horses represented war and authority. Jesus chose a donkey, which represented service and humility, to come riding in on. That's how Jesus came. In every way that he came here on earth, he came in service and humility. So I wanted to take some time to cover some facts and details, but I hope that today that we'll consider everything that we currently have and everything that we can receive from the Lord because of what this week represents. That we don't go through this week and head into Easter, and I know, like customary, like, you know, people do Easter egg hunts, and we talk about Jesus dying on the cross, yet how easy it is to just kind of talk about it but not really think about the gravity of it, the depth of it, the pain, the choice that was made for you, for me, for the loved one that we're still waiting on to receive him. It was done for us, for the people that screamed, "Hosanna, blessed is you who come in the name of the Lord." Yet a matter of days later, as Jesus, I think, smiled and rolled the donkey, knew those same people were going to scream at him, "Crucify him." Undeserving. Not one thing did he do. Yet he chose for you and me to die. So today I'm going to be talking to you primarily from 1 Kings 17 in a message called No Matter What. If you'll just bow your heads with me and we'll pray. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this Palm Sunday, Lord, that we can pause and recognize and bring our attention to who you are and what you did. That you rode in on a donkey, Lord. You knew the path you were taking and that it was going to lead to so much pain, but you also knew that it was going to lead to us having you and salvation and relationship, and that was worth it to you. We thank you for that. We thank you for who you are. I pray, Lord, that you open eyes and ears and hearts to receive what you have for them. Holy Spirit, speak. Work in and through me, but may it not be my words, but, Lord, your words and what you want for your sons and daughters under the sound of my voice to be heard. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this 1 Kings 17, this was during a time that the nation had fallen into sin and idolatry, and God was sending prophets to call it back to true faith. We're going to read about the prophet Elijah today. He had just left a place where it was 3 years of drought, and God had asked him to come out of hiding, this time where he was. It says that he was hiding, but it was almost like a sense of, like, God was using this time to pour into him, to prepare him for what he was coming into. And he called him to a land called Zarephath. And this land actually means refining. And I find it interesting, and I hope that as you draw your attention to what we're reading about today, how God uses things that he does in and through us, and what we're going to see that he did in and through Elijah and a widow and her son to refine us. So we're going to start in 1 Kings 17, verses 9 through 24. "Arise, go to Zarephath," this is God telling Elijah, "which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have not a loaf baked, but only a handful of meal in the jar and a little oil in the bottle. See, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Fear not. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake of it first and bring it to me, and afterward prepare some for yourself and your son." I find it interesting. I don't know how you would feel, but I'm like, if I knew I had just enough food for my child and myself, and then this prophet comes to her and says, come feed me first, and then go do this. Just interesting. I would find it challenging. I don't know about you, but I would find it challenging more for my child, you know, than for myself. I could go without, but then there's my child. Just, it's just interesting to me. So, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste away, or the bottle of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not spent, nor the bottle of oil fail, according to the word which the Lord spoke through Elijah. After these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, what have you against me, O man of God? Have you come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? He said to her, give me your son. And he took him from her bosom and carried him up into the chamber where he stayed and laid him upon his own bed. And Elijah cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you brought further calamity upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's soul come back unto him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the lower part of the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. And the woman said to Elijah, by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Is truth. I believe that there's a few things that we can learn from this today. And number one is that Jesus brings provision. He brings provision. First, in verse 12, I find it interesting that the Lord told Elijah that he had commanded the widow to provide for him. Yet when he actually approached the widow, her response was, I don't even have what you need. Like, I'm going to prepare. But there was a sense of, I believe that the Lord might have been leading her, preparing her to go gather those sticks for what she thought was just her and her son, yet it was also for the prophet to come. And I think about how many times is it that way with us? That God asks us to do something, we think it's just for us, yet God is asking us to do it not just for us, but those that are to come. And our obedience matters. It matters. Jesus brought this provision, and I also found it interesting, just a little side thing, that she says, as the Lord your God, almost as if she believes there's a God, but doesn't personally believe. I don't know that. Scripture doesn't say it for sure whether she was a believer or not. Yet, I don't know about you. I mean, I don't walk up to someone and say, as the Lord your God. Like, this is my God too, right? And so I love how this even shows us how maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, but that how even God can use everyone. God can work in and through anyone. God used her little she had to provide for Elijah, but why her? I can't imagine how that must have been challenging for Elijah. Can you imagine going up to someone that is clearly poverty-stricken? Clearly, like what the Bible we now have that tells us to care for the widow, and then he's going to request of the widow. But Elijah didn't, I don't know that he knew the gravity. I mean, do any of us really know the gravity of what God is asking of us and the depth of what it'll do, the power of what will come of our obedience? Because so much more could be shown, so much of God's power was going to be shown in and through the widow and the son. Had he gone to someone that was rich and had it all, cool, yes, the Lord provided. But as we see in the scripture, the Lord did what only he could do. It wasn't a man's effort, it was just simply their obedience, and God brought provision. Provision. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will liberally supply, fill unto full your every need according to his riches and glory. I think something that we can see from this is it's not that we can do anything but we can do everything that God has called us to do, because he provides where he guides us to. And he guided Elijah, and he provided in and through someone who had little to none. Little to none. The widow's perspective, the way she was choosing to look at it, she couldn't see the Lord's provision, be it she was a believer or not. Once again, we're not sure. But all God is asking for me and you is to give him what we do have, and he will give us what we need. I'm going to say that again. All God is asking for me to give him is what I do have, and he will give me what I do need. He will give you what you need if we'll give him what we have. He didn't need the widow to have full jars of oil and a full bin of flour. All she had to do was obey with what she had in her hand. Just like the woman that gave her last two mites, it was all she had. This widow gave what she had. And then verse 14 says that the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry. And I believe this is actually what tends to happen in our life. I found it interesting as I studied this part, a commentary actually talked about that with the widow, you know, that she could have easily said, like, I mean, obviously she wanted to see them completely full, right? To see the flour and the oil overflowing. And I believe God could have done that. But as I was reading this commentary, it was talking about that it is believed that this time was actually a time of famine for the land. And so if God had filled her bin of flour and her jar of oil to overflowing, there was a good chance she would have been robbed or something, because people would have heard that this widow has all of this. And I think about how those moments may happen in our lives. That widow didn't know it. While she was being provided, she was also being protected. And how you and I were looking for a certain way of provision, and God saying, but I'm protecting you while I'm providing too. And we can trust that because Jesus gives provision. Maybe today you just need the Lord to provide you peace. Small things, the day-to-day, the in our workplaces, as in our homes, whatever, we just need peace. John 16:33 says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Overcome is another word for victory, just as these palm branches represent. That Jesus had laid before him before he went to the cross was a pathway of victory. God has given us his word that tells us we can take heart because he's overcome, and because he's overcome, we can overcome. He's provided us with the opportunity of peace, to be able to walk in peace, because Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Where is your mind stayed on today? If you're not experiencing peace, I would beg to say it's because you're not keeping your mind on the one who is the peace giver. Same for me. He's paved the way for provision of peace. We get to choose where we keep our mind, where we choose to trust. And it's easy to say, well, God, I would have peace if this would go away. I will have peace if I'll just see you provide. Yet I think sometimes those delays are opportunities for us to trust, because his provision is there. You can walk in peace today. And whatever it is, maybe you're saying, God, I need this provision. I need this financial provision, or this just day-to-day. I mean, just the, God, I need grace to do the parenting thing. I need wisdom to know how to handle this situation at work. Those are provisions from the Lord. Creative ideas for your workplace or even your home place. Like some days I'll say something to Gabriel and I'm like, I know that was Holy Spirit because that did not come from me. He is the provider of everything that we need, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. He provides. Jesus brings provision. Number two, Jesus comes in power. He comes in power. 1 Kings 17:17, the son had died. I don't believe that it doesn't even say, like, I don't believe that God causes sickness. I don't believe he causes death, but I do believe he can use every one of those situations and turn them around for his good. And it says that Elijah even questions in verse 20, the prophet questioned, Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy to this widow who opened her home to me and now her son has died? But we know he was brought to this place where God said, all I need is your yes, and I'll allow my power to work in and through you. Maybe there's somewhere in your life today where God's just saying, all I need is your yes. You keep asking. You keep believing. You keep standing and speaking truth because you can see his power in and at work through you. I know that this can be a sensitive subject because I, like maybe many of you, you've watched loved ones pass from this earth. And you didn't see the power you hoped to experience, so I hope that you see my love and you feel my compassion for you in that, because I don't understand those things, but I know that we serve a God that even in the midst of our grief and our pain, he provides. He provides strength and joy and comfort and people. He's still a provider. But Jesus comes in power, and I believe that we haven't even begun to see the power that he wants to do in and through us if we'll simply ask and believe. Jesus said that he would leave and we would do even greater things than he did, and I don't believe it was just to the disciples. It was to us today that God can do even greater things in and through us if we will allow him to. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. I'm not enough, but thank God he is. And you know what? We get the choice, the opportunity to say, even just like he talked about last week, to see those opportunities and say, I can put my hands on this. I can pray for this. I can agree for this. Because God wants to work with his power in and through us. This last week, I had the opportunity, and it was one of those moments, if you've heard me speak this last year, where I showed up to a doctor's office and I was irritated that I was there. Irritated at the enemy. And I saw a lady right across from me. And I was like, all right, what's your name? She's sitting all alone. And I got to meet Paula. Paula, who was diagnosed with leukemia a year and a half ago and wasn't supposed to be alive today. But she is. And the enemy will regret that he let me be in that oncology room, because I'm going to continue to pray for Paula, that she will experience life and continue to be encouraged as she walks this out. Because as I went to pray for Paula, Paula encouraged me, and then we just started chatting, and we both prayed and agreed with one another. We get the opportunity to see God's power in and through us working. Do you want to see his power in and through, working through you? You can put your hands to it. Look for opportunities for it. To be the smiling face, to be the encouraging word. Some of you in here, if you're part of Impact at all, you've seen even times of prophetic words come forth. And I believe the Lord has begun to even stir that in other people. And you question, well, what if I go say it and it's wrong? Then they can throw it out. You know, but I encourage you to be obedient. If the Lord has laid someone on your heart, is shining them to you, is saying, hey, just go give them an encouraging word, you never know what that will do for them, for that day, for that week, for that time, to allow his power to work in and through you. For physical healing, I've seen it happen. Physical healing. Now, don't get me wrong. I've laid hands and I've not seen the healing that I thought I would see, but I'm not going to keep my mind fixed there. I'm going to continue to move forward and say what Jesus did on the cross is greater than anything that's happening today. And so whatever reality I see, I can put my hands to it and agree for what the Word of God says and speak life and truth over it. I've had people do the same for me. And I know that it has made all the difference. I can't tell you, we went from being overrun with fear, honestly, to people praying. And there was just such a peace that I couldn't explain. Like my father and I laughing and cracking jokes with one another, finding joy in the moments of being together. And I believe that the enemy is going to regret it. I said, our family is going to end up closer in this than we've ever been before, running harder to the things of the Lord. The enemy will regret that he messed with us. And you can say the same for your family. That instead of sitting down in defeat, that we say, you're going to be sorry you did this. Because God wants his power to work in and through us, whether through prayer, whether through prophetic words, as I said, whether whatever it is, he can work in and through you today. By a hug, man, there's power in that. Like, may we allow his power to work in and through us, to believe for the impossible, because we serve a God that raised dead men to life, that blind people could see again. That crippled, lame people over 13,000 days, the lame man sat by the pool of Bethesda, unable to walk. And in one moment with Jesus was healed and walked. Come on, it's not too late. You can believe. May we be people that believe in faith for each other. That allow his power to work in and through us. Elijah chose to allow the Lord to use him and show his power at work. Verse 22 says that the life returned to the child and he was revived. Maybe today you're not seeing a physically dead, but you're seeing a spiritually dead loved one. Or maybe you're feeling spiritually dead yourself. But I'm telling you today, God can revive that. Maybe you've been looking at a dead marriage, whether your own or someone else's. God can revive that. Maybe you've been looking at a business situation that you're just like, this just feels like it's falling apart and it's not anything that I anticipated. Yet God can revive that. We have an opportunity when we come to these situations to say, God, this looks impossible, but you are the God of the impossible. And I will see your power in and at work in this situation. I love that we have John 2 where Jesus turned the water into wine and we're reminded how God doesn't need what we need to get us what we need. Jesus turned water into wine. If you and I were going to go make wine, we'd need grapes, we'd need thyme, maybe some other things, I'm not sure. But nonetheless, you're not going to see me turn water into wine because Jesus doesn't need what you and I need. He doesn't need all the things that you've been telling him. Well, God, this and this and this. If I just had this and this and this. Well, good news. He doesn't need what you need. Because he can provide what you need. Because he is God. And he is good at being God. And he's good at showing up. He's good at doing what only he can do. And I think often we want the doable. We want the attainable in our own efforts when God's just saying, but I'm providing an opportunity to show you how I can do what only I can do. Whether it be something in the physical or the spiritual or the emotional, you know, those loved ones that we're believing for that were like, my hands are tied and there's nothing I can do. You can pray and you can watch God do what only he can do. He is so good, so good. He is all powerful, and we can say this is just an opportunity for God to show his power. I heard this statement a few weeks ago, and I've heard it before, but I really felt strongly that there was someone today that you needed to be reminded that just because you've been delayed does not mean you've been denied. And this last year, we've had many moments where, I'm not going to lie, I thought God would have already shown up. Even today, some things that I thought, I didn't think it was going to look this way. But at the same time, continuing to believe and declare that this delay does not mean denied, and I can continue to speak truth and faith over each and every situation of my own and those I know and love and declare who he is and the truths of his word. God doesn't create these hard things. I don't personally believe that, but I believe that he will turn them all around for his good, and he tells us that in Romans 8:28. But we get to choose to be people that choose to be with Jesus, to become like him and do as he did. And I just wonder, can we say that about ourselves today? Can we say truly, like, I'm choosing to be with him. I'm choosing to spend time with him. I'm choosing to become like him. I'm choosing to do as I think he would do. Not perfectly by any means. You can ask anybody in my house. I mean, you could probably see. I'm not like Jesus every day, very far from. But yet my focus is I'm going to choose to be with him. I'm going to choose to become like him. And as I'm with him, I will become like him. And then I'm going to choose to do as he would do. And I began to think, what would happen if we walked into every room? Really what was talked about seeing these opportunities, and we literally walked in, got up, and walked into our jobs and said, Jesus, what would you do in here today? What would you be about? Who would you go talk to? Who needs to see you? Who needs to hear from you today? Use me. That would show up wherever we show up, even in the grocery store, and know that you're not behind the person you're behind by coincidence, and it's very likely an opportunity from the Lord if you'll so choose to take part in it. Whatever it is, wherever it is, that we choose to be used by him, to do as he would do, to become like him. I believe it would change the way that many of us operate, even as Christians, that honestly, I don't think we're doing as Jesus would do. We're simply doing as our neighbor did. We're doing as our coworker did. We're whatever you would say, doing as you think someone else would want you to or would prefer you to. We're doing what we think will help us get ahead in our career instead of more focused on what the Lord's asking us to do. We're more focused on doing and wearing what makes us current rather than wearing and doing what reflects who we follow. Is how we act in our day-to-day, how we speak, how we dress, all of it reflects who we follow. Who are you choosing to reflect today? This big hype on all the things that you can follow on Instagram and Facebook and all that. It's like, well, I dress like so-and-so. I did as so-and-so. Yet imagine if we were that consumed with, I become like him. I speak as he would speak, or do my best to, not in every moment, obviously, because we're human, but I reflect him. I honor him in the way that I behave. I honor him in the way that I give. I honor him. May we evaluate if our daily priorities and choices draw us closer to Jesus and or help point others to him. That in the way that I speak and behave, that it points others to him. That in the things I choose to do, it draws me closer to him. So Jesus, he brings provision. He comes in power. And Jesus gives perspective. Perspective is a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view, the way that you see something. And as I was preparing for this and praying, I just felt this question that I was to write this question down and ask all of you, how many of us are robbing ourselves of peace, blinding ourselves of God's provision, and not walking in God's power, all because of our perspective? We get to choose our perspective. You know, we've been in this another season of of fighting what the doctors are saying. And by fighting, I mean trying to stand on the truth of God's word, but then do what we have to do here on this earth. And we get to choose our perspective through it. And I was being honest with some friends the other day, and I'm just going to be honest with you because, you know, that's me. But I said, I'm not going to lie, I've struggled over this last year. I know it's a lie. I've struggled with hearing the lie that sickness and disease are following my family. But then I get to choose to come back and say, his word says that his goodness and mercy follow me, not sickness and disease. And what is it today that maybe you need to say that you feel like brokenness keeps following me, pain keeps following me, poverty keeps following me, messes keep following me, and instead you can say, no, his goodness and mercy follow me. I am not followed by anything else. And I will stand on the truth of God's word, no matter what a doctor says, no matter what my neighbor said, or honestly, maybe your best friend said, whatever it is, maybe your boss said, I will stand on the truth of God's word. I will be faithful and speak truth and thank him for his goodness. And once I've asked, continue to thank him and believe and trust that he will be faithful because he is good at being faithful. Even when life seems messy, even when life isn't going the way that we think it should or would have, that we get to choose our perspective. And what perspective are you choosing today? Luke 11:34 says, the eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, this is what the Amplified says in the brackets, spiritually perceptive, focused on God, your whole body is also full of light, benefiting from God's precepts. But when it is bad, spiritually blind, your body also is full of darkness, devoid of God's word. This scripture is actually also found in Matthew 6, 22 through 23, but I believe the eye here he's talking about is the outlook of our heart. And how are we choosing to see it, and how I choose to see these situations and see my life affect what dwells within me. Yet Jesus lives within me, and so I can choose to allow light to fill me, or I can choose to agree with the lies of the enemy and sit in darkness, in sadness, or whatever, or I can choose a different perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. You know, Paul was telling us here, I believe, to focus our internal spiritual eyes on the eternal. This was how Paul, I think, it's how he refused to lose heart in all that he did, in all his suffering. Time after time after time, he suffered. Now, have I been in places, and I'm sure you could tell me some really hard stories of how you've been in places where it didn't feel temporary. It felt way too long. It felt way too hard. Yet scripture tells us, I believe that there's a reason why it was worded this exact way, that we don't fix our eyes on what is seen. Because what we see sometimes really stinks sometimes, right? But what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. Because God knew we're going to face some things that don't feel temporary. But good news is God always shows up. And he does what only he can do, just like he did in this story with the widow. He did what only he could do and showed his power in and through each of them, not only providing what they needed physically for food, but then bringing healing and life back to her son, which I believe didn't just affect their family and Elijah. Probably eventually the whole village place knew what was happening or what had happened. And how we miss out on the opportunity to say, I'm not going to lie, this last year with the sickness and the things that had come upon both of our dads and my health issues and some other things that had happened, I can't say it. I mean, it stunk. I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, I've literally been able to sit with people and declare in faith and love them and see God in and work through me. Partly because of the hard things that I face. Because you get to choose. Like, will I allow the Lord to use this? Like, I don't want it to be wasted. May this last year not be wasted. The things that happened to you last year, may they not be wasted. Allow the Lord to use it. Share it with somebody. Bring encouragement to somebody. Because your encouragement may be, you know, it didn't happen the way I thought. I was hurting and I feel broken again right now, but I've seen God carry me through, and he'll carry you through too. And sometimes that's all I've had because that's all I saw. But God is so faithful, and his power can work in and through not just me, but you. And you who look at there's somebody in here, you look at other people and you see how God, I believe there's multiple people, you see how God's power can work in and through others. You believe in his power, but you've never allowed it to operate in and through you. And I would encourage you to ask the Lord, ask him to use you. Ask him to just, that power's inside of you because he is inside of you. And he wants to use you too. He wants to use you. Our obedience is about more than us. The widow only saw what she had, but wasn't seeing what God could do. And once again, whether or not she believed, it's a question, but nonetheless, the widow didn't know that when she was gathering the stick, she was preparing not just for herself, but for her son and Elijah also. But she had a choice to make, to participate. Elijah had a choice to make, to participate. And some of us, I think today, we just got to choose to participate again. Or maybe participate for the first time. And say, God, I know that you're the provider. I'm not my provider. God, I know that you reign in power. I want to see your power at work in and through me and in my life and in others' lives. Not for myself, but for your glory. I believe if we so choose, like, we will see greater miracles in the days to come. Like, I'm believing that I haven't even seen a glimpse of the miracles that are to come, even in my own life. God's done miracles. He has. He's done miracles in our lives. Like, I mean, financial miracles, physical miracles, like, literally a few months ago, like, this last fall, if you had said I would be back up here speaking, I would say, probably not going to happen. But God. And maybe you're in here today, and maybe you've struggled with your health. I was encouraged by someone, and I just loved it. She said that when I was struggling with my health and was laid up on the couch, you just tell the enemy he's sorry because you're laid up with the Lord, and he's going to love on me today. Like, your bad day doesn't have to be every day, and we get to choose what we do with it. You know, even on my bad days of being laid up on the couch and stricken with pain and sickness, which I'm not now, thank the Lord, but even when I was, I still had my phone that I could text others and encourage them. I still had my kids that I could love on. Was it hard to see that in those days? Yes, because we literally, after seeing doctor and specialist and all that, like, we're just like, okay, Lord, we don't know what else to do. But he did what only he could do. And I have no other explanation. Like, I'm not on medication. I am taking straight vitamins and doing a few other things that I felt like were my part to do. And not sick like I was at one time. Because God is a God of power. He is a God of power, and he wants to show you his power in your situation. Did it happen as quickly as I would have liked? Absolutely not. Nope. I had one person show up to my house multiple times, and I went to hers as she prayed over me. God was faithful. He was faithful, and he worked each and every time. And he will in and through you. In your life, in your situation, and if nothing else, I pray you are encouraged with that your faith is stirred today, that you are reminded of his faithfulness, because he wants to be faithful to you. And it's easy to buy into the lie that, well, I see him being faithful to others, but I don't see him being faithful to me. He is. Ask him for a new perspective. Ask him to show you where he's being faithful, because he is. And just like the widow, where she probably would have liked for her bin and jar to overflow with more than enough, God was being faithful to her. They said they ate for many days. Not just that day, but continued to eat. And God wants to show you that in your situation, whatever it may look like, maybe not physical food, but something. Maybe it's spiritually, maybe it's emotionally. It's for someone you love. I believe that strongly today, that there is somebody in here that it's for someone you love that you just want to see this happen. you want to see them gain a new perspective, and you feel at the end of, I don't know what else to do or say or whatever, but it is what God can do. And you will watch him show up and continue to speak truth. I think about Jesus and how he chose to ride that donkey and chose the cross. He had to hold on to a kingdom perspective. He had to see that God's plan was way bigger than his. And had he just thought about and focused on the pain that he endured, may we not be numb to that today. That he took nails for you and me. You know, he was whipped, it says 39 times, because 40 was the death of someone and they didn't want him dead yet. He took that for you and me. So you could live, not just have salvation, but live abundantly. Are you choosing to walk in abundant life today? Or choosing just to get by? God wants to work in and through you and help you live the John 10:10 life. The thief comes to steal and destroy, but God came to give you life, and you can live in full, abundant life. But a lot of what affects that is our perspective. Some of us need to allow the Lord to reframe how we are seeing things. Not from a place of lack or not enough, but from a place of plenty and more than enough. Of more than enough. You know, I was thinking about even the power of that we have of editing. I told them in the first service when I was a teenager, I had this picture and I cut somebody out of it. You know, did you ever do that? You just cut somebody off a picture. But I think about, we get to choose what we frame. And you know, like in all the things that we do, I'm not really good at it. My almost 15-year-old is. She helps me with all the things, technology, and my nails and my hair. You know, that's what she does. She's great. But anyways, side note, sorry about that. I'm back again. So we get to choose what we frame. And cropping and editing and how you get to choose. I mean, it's crazy, like the filters you can put on things and how you can frame it. But how often we're cropping out all the good stuff and just so narrowed in on the hard thing. And maybe some of you today, you're like, no, you don't understand. Like, there's a lot of hard things happening. I get that too. I do. But I also know, even in the midst of when we've walked through seasons and moments of like this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing, and I don't know how to even go about my day because I feel so overrun with anxiety right now, that I get to choose where, how I'm going to crop it. Like, what am I going to do with it? And you can choose today to say, Lord, reframe it for me. Help me see your kingdom perspective in what I'm walking through. Even the good things, you know, even the new adventures that God's put you on, it's bigger than what you see. Ask him to help you see the way he sees it. It doesn't have to just be hard things. But I thought about, we've been in this grow group this semester. We're studying the book of Daniel. And as I thought about even this title of no matter what, you know, the words of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were even if. And it's the same idea. They said they were thrown into a fire, and in this really terrible situation. And I think about how they could have focused and just said, why us? And, you know, why are we here, Lord? And yet in their conversation with the king, they're just like, you know, I know it can, but even if he doesn't, still, I will choose to follow. We can choose today to walk out of here with a no matter what mindset and attitude. And you know what? When Wednesday morning comes and the week's kind of gotten crazy or some bad news has hit you, that you can say, no matter what. No matter what. Because we know, if you know the story at all with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that the word says that even though they were thrown into the fire where they were intended to be burned, they came out not burned, not even smelling as smoke. And God can do the same in and through your situation wherever you're at. But we get to choose to say, no matter what. No matter if I see what I think I should see, I will still keep being obedient and faithful. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to find and hold on to his peace, his power, his provision, and his kingdom perspective. Because it's never too late. You're never too far gone. I really believe, like, something that I was to come here today, I know that as I write these messages often and the few times when I speak throughout the year, that it's things that the Lord's even trying to sink deeper in my heart. And I know I haven't really fully grabbed a hold of as I need to. Yet, I believe I came here today to encourage somebody, don't give up. If your business isn't going the way you think it should, but that's not in my notes about business, so whoever it is, if your business, this business venture you're doing, it's not going the way you think it should or would, ask him to give you a new perspective today. Ask him, because he will give you creative ideas. He will do what only he can do. You're looking at a marriage that's broken or a loved one that's sick or whatever. Watch him do what only he can do. He wants to show up in your life. He wants to show you the miracle in the midst of the mess. But will we choose to say, no matter what? No matter what. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. You know, I was told this story a little while ago at a pastor's conference, and I didn't know it. And if you've heard it, then just bear with me. There was this old song. Old song, and it was written based on this man that him and his family were in this village, and I don't have my husband to help me, so y'all just bear with me because I always have to ask him details, but I really felt like this was supposed to be shared in this service because this isn't in my notes. But the old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Well, this old song was actually written based on a family that was in India. And this country is, there's a lot of Buddhism and Hinduism. And he stood before the chief of the village with his family. And the chief told the man to deny Jesus, deny him. And he then threatened to kill his sons. And the chief was good to his promise. And as the man refused to deny Jesus, he shot both of his sons with an arrow in the heart. He continued on and did the same with his wife. Told him to deny him. Still, he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And he shot his wife in the heart. And finished until this man lay dead on the ground with his entire family. Yet, through this whole situation, as the story goes, that the chief said, never have I ever seen someone believe like he believed in his God, to show what he showed, and that whole village came to know the Lord. May we be people that are willing to say, no matter what, still I will follow. I have the privilege to do life with people that I know I have watched them have, I have decided to follow Jesus kind of attitude. And even in the midst of heartache, heartbreak, disappointment, and pain, they have continued to show up and say, still I will follow. And I personally have been encouraged in my faith as I've watched people choose that. Because we all get that choice to continue to believe in his power, to continue to trust that he is the provider, and to choose a kingdom perspective. Today I want to read something over you as we end. And I hope that it encourages your faith. that today you will walk out of here with your eyes up and you'll keep moving forward in the good and in the hard. Because even in the good, it's continuing to be faithful and obedient. And in the hard, it's still the same, that I will be faithful and obedient no matter what. In the Bible, it rained for 40 days and not 40 nights. Day 41 came and the rain stopped. Moses committed murder and hid in the desert for 40 years. 41 came, God called him to help rescue Israel. Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days. On day 41, he received the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine, had he come down just a little earlier, we wouldn't even have the Ten Commandments today. What do you need to keep pursuing Jesus? Because it's right on the other side. Keep climbing the mountain. Keep believing. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Year 41, they walked into the promised land. Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days. Day 41 came and David slew him. Jonah preached a message of repentance to Nineveh for 40 days. On day 41, God stopped his plan to destroy them. Jesus fasted and was tempted for 40 days. Day 41, and the devil fled. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days. On day 41, he ascended into heaven. All this to say, don't quit. The rain will stop, the giant will fall, and you will enter into your promised land. Don't give up on 40. 41 is coming. Somebody in here needs to be reminded of that. And maybe you're like me and you're past day 40. Well, my whatever is coming. And I can choose to say that today. My 101, it's right around the corner. You can make it. Whatever seems so permanent right now, it's not. God is faithful and he will provide. His power will be at work in and through if you will allow. When we choose to truly pursue Jesus, no matter what, we will find his peace. We will experience his power. We will see his provision. We can gain his kingdom perspective. He has a purpose and a plan. And that didn't change when you were thrown off, when I was thrown off. That didn't change. God is good because he is God. And no matter what we face, that doesn't change. He is God and he's good at being God. Jesus knew as he rode the donkey and they waved those palm branches saying Hosanna, that they would later scream, crucify him. Yet, he chose to go anyways. What do you need to say? I will continue to go, even though this isn't the way I thought it would be. God, I would like to experience better or fuller or feel different. I thought I would feel different obeying you. That you'll say, no matter what, I'm going to follow. No matter what, I'm going to obey. I believe he had us in mind when he chose to obey. He didn't allow what was happening, how people were treating him or anything to keep him from being fully obedient. He washed the disciples' feet knowing some would deny him and one would turn him over to be crucified. Yet he treated him the same and no one would have known it. Can we say that about ourselves? If I knew what you would do in the future, that I would treat you the same. May we be people that love big and obey fully, because that's what Jesus would do. No matter what. Didn't turn out the way I thought, but no matter what, God, your power will show up and I'll declare your truth, your promises. Will you stand to your feet? There's going to be people that come to pray. And I'm encouraging you, even if you're not in a hard place, I've been in some really great places and I just needed somebody to agree with me for wisdom. And don't miss the opportunity to allow someone to agree with you. As we end this day, as we sing this song, my God's not empty-handed. Your God's not empty-handed. His hands are full and ready to love on you and provide for you. We get to choose to trust and believe and declare his truth and know that he is good at being God no matter what. even when things feel like they're falling apart, I can say, no matter what, God, I will choose to follow. No matter what, I know you're going to show up. No matter what that diagnosis supposedly is, oh God, I know you're just going to show up and you're going to show off. No matter what disease they try to declare my body has, I thank you, God, that you are the strength that I have for today. That no disease will overtake me. No sickness will overrun my body. No matter what I've struggled with in the past, whether mentally or emotionally, it does not have to be in my tomorrow. Because no matter what, God is good at being God. And you can trust him. Don't give up. Don't quit declaring his truth over your life, over your family, over that person that you've been believing will come to know him but hasn't yet. Don't quit. Don't quit being his hands and feet, whether through a smile or a hug, whatever it is. Allow him to give you fresh perspective today as we sing this song one more time. We're going to take this time to pray. And maybe you need to, you just say, I just need to experience his peace right now because I thought I was better and I'm back here again today. Maybe today you need financial provision or provision of healing in your body or a loved one's. Maybe today you desire to see his power change things within your marriage or your workplace. Maybe you or someone you love isn't physically dead like the son in the story, but you are spiritually dead and need to be revived. God can do that today. Maybe today you just say, I need a fresh perspective. I need a kingdom perspective for this situation, for my life. Your life doesn't have to be going poorly. But you can allow the Lord to shift your perspective, whether it's hard right now or it's going great. Maybe you just need a fresh perspective on it. God wants to provide that for you today. Will you bow your heads with me? We're just going to take a moment and pause and just ask, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? Whatever I've said today, he knows what you need. Allow him to speak to you specifically right now. As we paused, I like to tell people this when this happens because Holy Spirit is so personal. I didn't do this in first service, but I believe someone in here needs to see this happen. I got this visual of literally, I felt I was to remind somebody to declare over you that Jesus is waving his palm branches over you. And it's time that you quit seeing through the lens of defeat and you see him waving the palms of victory over your life, over your loved one. Whatever it is, he's waving palms of victory over you. And I'm thankful that we serve a God that these may represent victory, but he is victory. And because he lives inside of you, you, my friend, you have victory. You can overcome. You speak it. You declare his truth. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. And I encourage you, you see him waving those palm branches just as I did over you. I'm waving them and I'm declaring over you, victory is yours. Stop agreeing with the lies of the enemy. Goodness and mercy follow you. He is faithful. Even when you walk through times of loss, he is faithful. I've watched this sweet lady right here, even in times of heartache, declare his goodness. because she knows he's faithful. I've watched these two people do the same, even when cancer tried to take him out. You know, last Easter, I wasn't here. I missed my first Easter service ever. And watched this man lay in a bed and thought I was literally watching my dad die before my eyes. But God, because guess who's going to be here next week on Easter? Both of us. Because God is good like that. And don't get me wrong, once again, I don't share these things because I just want you to see, like, we've walked through hard and we've walked through loss too. But we get to choose where we focus. And even though I've seen this sweet lady walk through loss, I've also watched her sing his praises in victory and give him glory all the same. And I know many of you the same. But today you get to choose what you're going to agree with, what you're going to walk out of here with. You can choose that, Lord, this is the door of opportunity. And I'm like the Israelites, and right now I'm staring at the Red Sea. But guess what? I can see it as a blockage, or I can see it as an opportunity for God to do what only he can do. When the Israelites, when they didn't even have food, God provided. You don't feel like you have it, but watch him provide it. Declare it. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you are good at being God. God, we thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. And we thank you, Lord, that you wave victory over our lives, that you are victory. And through you, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood that you shed. So today, I pray, Lord, for each and every person under the sound of my voice. God, that they will see that you, Jesus, bring provision no matter what they're seeing with their physical eyes. Father, that they will see that you are a God of power, even if they've never seen it before. Or maybe they have for other people, but they'll believe it for themselves too. God, we want to see your power rule and reign in this earth. And I pray, Lord, that faith will stir in our hearts today to declare only your truth. God, I pray right now for each and every person, including myself, that you give us kingdom perspective today. That you change, you reframe how we're seeing things. And maybe we're not seeing it in a bad light, but you can help us see it in better light. Shine the light on our lives, Lord, to see your blessings and your goodness, even in the midst of anything hard we may find ourselves in. I pray today that we not walk out of here the same. That we will be like that man in the village in India that would say, no matter what, even if, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. God, we're not turning back. But I believe that there's someone under the sound of my voice today. And in a way, you've kind of turned back. You've kind of pulled back. You still believe, but you're struggling. You're hard. You're hard to the things of the Lord, maybe like questioning it. I want to encourage you to come up here and be honest with somebody about that. I've been there. I didn't leave the Lord, but I pulled away. And I just want to encourage you, it didn't get me anywhere. Because in the arms of Jesus is where we all belong, and it's the only way we're going to find the help that we need. You can run to anything in this world you want, but it will not sustain you. Maybe today you just need to come and agree for a fresh perspective. Man, you're doing great, but you just want to see what he sees. I just encourage you to come forward and allow these people to agree with you. And if you choose not to, that's fine too, but give him all you've got when you choose to praise him this one last time today. Honor him. Let's bless his name and declare his goodness that you, Lord, will provide. You're not empty-handed, and I see your hands are full. And and God, that you just want to pour it out, that we will be sons and daughters that seek first his kingdom. Not seek first everything else, but seek first his kingdom. God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving us. May we be people that say no matter what. May we lay our lives down before you, because it'll still pale in comparison to how you laid your life down for us. We love you and we honor you today. May you get all the glory. Help us to become more like you and reflect you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.